Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for the servants of God. I'm Andrew Cook. It's great that we can be together once more. Christian Basics, the new series continues. Here on Serving Today, we return to our theme of teaching the basics of Christianity to help new and untaught believers with the help of Dr. John Hall. Derek French began by asking him to show us where the Bible itself claims to be the Word of God, and in particular what Jesus said about it.
I'll start off in Exodus 34 and verse 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write down these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and Israel." And so Moses did write down the first five books.
And what verse would you like me to read, John?
Well, you could now, Derek, read, please, from Isaiah 8, verses 1 and 5.
"The Lord said to me, 'Take a large scroll and write on it with an ordinary pen.' The Lord spoke to me again."
And so the book of Isaiah was written down for us to read. I'll read a verse now from Psalm 33, verse 4. "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does." The psalmist saw that God's word was right and true. Perhaps you'd now like to read, Derek, Psalm 18:30.
"As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless."
There you are again, you see. The word of the Lord is flawless. They saw what they were doing and that this word is utterly reliable.
What about the New Testament's claims to be the word of God? I mean, you've mentioned 2 Timothy 3:16 already in this series. The scripture is God-breathed. Are there other passages of the Bible?
Yes, there are. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Scripture there means the writings, means the Old Testament, and now the New Testament. Perhaps you'd like to read another section from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, Derek, please.
"The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near."
You see, John is conscious that he's writing the word of God. And have you noticed what he says you ought to do with it? Hear it, listen to it, take it right into your heart, which means that you believe it and act upon it.
John, then, why should we believe the Bible's claims? Because surely there are other books that make similar claims. Why the Bible?
The Bible claims to be God's word. And if that claim is true, the Bible must be true because God does not lie. And as we shall see as we go through the studies, the central idea of the Bible is that God promised to send a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this promised one came in fulfilment with the scriptures, that's an element of pointing to the truth of the book, this Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be God the Son from heaven. And he saw this book, the Bible, to be God's word. That's very important. If God has spoken to us and then sent his Son from heaven, and this Son from heaven says, yes, it is God's word, that's great evidence for believing that it is true.
Can we look at some specific Bible passages that record Jesus' teaching about the Bible for us?
Yes, let's look at Matthew 19. Jesus had been asked a question about divorce, and to answer the question, he quoted from what Moses had written in Genesis 2 and verse 24. Derek, perhaps you could read Matthew 19:4-6.
"Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate."
Yes, thank you, Derek. You notice there he says, "The Creator said," and then he gives a direct quote from what Moses wrote in Genesis 2. If you look at Genesis 2 when you have time, you'll see there that it's just Moses' comment on the reason for marriage. It isn't a direct quote on what God had said. And so the Lord Jesus saw Genesis 2 as being the Creator, or God, speaking to us. He saw it as God's word. So the next bit of evidence comes from Matthew 5:7-18, and Derek will read that for us.
This is Jesus again speaking, and he said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished."
The law of Moses and the prophets really includes the whole of the Old Testament. It's just a way of saying the whole of the Old Testament is going to be fulfilled. He saw them as being extremely important. Not one bit of a letter was going to be changed until all that God had promised would be accomplished. It had to be accomplished because God had promised it. It was true. It's God's word. It was reliable. The Lord Jesus saw that to be the case. Let's look at another plank of evidence now, Derek, from John 17:12-17, where Jesus is praying.
Jesus, praying to his Father, says, "While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified."
The Lord Jesus, when he was praying, reflected his view of Scripture there, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. It had to be. It was God's word. And then he says, "I have given them your word." His words themselves were words from God. And then he says, "Your word is truth," quite clearly pointing to the fact that he believed the whole of the Old Testament was God speaking to us.
Yes, that evidence is really quite strong, isn't it, from his lips?
Yes, Derek, it is, because he's praying there. He's not making a theological statement. He's praying for his disciples, and it reflects his underlying view of the whole of the Bible that was there then, the Old Testament, that it was God's word. Let's look now at another example. Jesus went to the synagogue and read from Isaiah, one of the prophetic books in the Old Testament, and he read from Isaiah 61:1-2, and then said that Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You see, he used the technical term for the Old Testament, Scripture, meaning writings, God's writings, and he saw, as he had said, that it was fulfilled, and he himself fulfilled it. Derek, would you please read for us now what Jesus said in Nazareth from Luke 4:16-20?
Certainly, John. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
And so what we've established from these quotations from scripture is that Jesus saw the Old Testament as God's word, as truth. And because it was true, it would be accomplished and fulfilled. If Jesus saw the Old Testament as true and God's word, so should we.
John, those verses make it quite clear that Jesus did consider the Bible to be the word of God. Could we actually look at some examples of how Jesus used the Bible for himself, as I think that would be quite helpful and would reinforce really what we've already learned.
Yes, Derek, when he was really stressed and tempted in the wilderness, he used the word extensively, and perhaps we could read the whole episode of his temptation from Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. And Derek will read that to us, please.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
So that's a lovely example of how the Lord Jesus Christ uses Deuteronomy in his temptation. Three times he answers the devil from Scripture, from Deuteronomy. And notice particularly he says that we're to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's quoting Scripture. He obviously sees that that is the word coming from the mouth of God. And when the devil misuses the Scripture, even the devil uses the phrase, "It is written." And Jesus replies to him again that it is written and quotes from God's word authoritatively to settle the argument with the devil and so resists the temptation put before him.
Well, there we must bring our time together to a close here on Serving Today. This is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May God enable his servants to be faithful preachers of his word. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm, or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.